Good morning, everybody. We're glad to have you all here this morning. Will you all please stand as we open up a wonderful worship song, Our God. I was thinking about the Larry Sermons, the series through Joshua. And, you know, I thought a lot about this song. And if our God is for us, who could ever stop us? But you know the one thing that did stop them? Sin.
Yeah.
Amen. But when they got that out of their lives, they were on the roll again. Amen. So I'll bow your heads this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you, God, that you are stronger, you are greater, God. And when we are in you, God, and in your plan, God, there is nothing that can stop us. And Lord, I thank you that we can come here this morning, God, and lift up your holy name and praise you, God. And Lord, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon this service this morning, upon our worship, God, that when everybody here in this sanctuary this morning sees you and worships you. And Lord, I ask that you be with Larry as he brings your word. Speak powerfully through him, through the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Speak into us what you want us to hear this morning, God. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for just a second. First and foremost, we will have prayer meeting this Wednesday. I know it seems like forever since we've had that, but we will have prayer meeting this Wednesday. Also, directly following this service, there is a security team meeting. That's today, right after church, immediately following the service, and you will meet in the fellowship hall. That includes all security team members, including monitors. So that's today, right after service. Then don't forget your Operation Christmas Child box, which you can pick up in the back. And the drop-off date for that, they have to be back here by Sunday, 11/10/24. That's November 10th. So you look real closely. You can see a couple boxes already sprouting up down here on the altar. And I see people out there with boxes already. But if you haven't got your box, please get your box. Fill it with not just items, but fill it with prayer as you send it, okay? And you can bring it up here and put it on the altar. And then also don't forget, this Saturday is our community breakfast in Steubenville. If you would like to come out and help serve with that, we'd greatly appreciate it. The thing is growing and growing and growing, huh? Yes, it's been a good move that we made. And so we have had great success in serving the community there. Also, our annual church birthday party will be next Sunday, immediately following service. Sign-up sheet is out there so we can have a tally of about who's coming. Anybody can come. So if you would like to come to our annual church birthday party, please sign up above the water cooler in the back. And then we have a work day coming. So just glean over your bulletin and make sure that you can get as many of these activities in as you can. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Larry. All right, please stand and we'll continue to worship this morning.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, with treasures that fade, are never enough. You came along, put me back to. Is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing that's better than you. Lord, there's nothing. There's nothing is better than. Place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing that's better than you, Lord. There's nothing that's better than you, Lord. There's nothing. There's nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing that's better than you, Lord. There's nothing that's better than you, Lord. There's nothing. There's nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes.
I said, this whole set, I've been thinking about Joshua. I thought about the plan God had for them and how they messed it up. And that's kind of the reason we're adding a new song today, because sometimes we mess up God's plan. But he's right there, and he takes us back when we realize that we were made for so much more than what we think is our plan.
I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a it's worth the living.
Get this.
I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name. I was born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. would I wallow in sin? Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. Cross of salvation was only a star. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
Hallelujah. Mike's mistake. Born and raised back to life again, I was made for more. Why would I make bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I'm You know, I've confessed this to this church before. I have a condition. It's called chronic lyricosis. I mess up lyrics all the time.
Everlasting, your light will shine when all else
I pray that we seek you from the inside out. Lord, I pray that our soul does cry out for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will move mightily among us this day. Lord, there's many of us that carried many different things from this world into this building. And Lord, all you want from us is our praise, uninhibited praise. So Lord, we just pray that you will bring a peace and a comfort over this congregation. You will bring a sense of security and assurance that because you are on the throne, you are on the throne, and we who are called by your name, Lord, you have good in store for us. This world does not. This world does not, but you do. So, Lord, let us focus on you and not this world. Let us give you the praise that you're due. Let us give ourselves to you, that we would be in a position for you to change us from the inside out. That we today would see you. We would see how great and mighty you are. That you are more mightier than anything that this world could throw at us, Lord. So, Lord, we just humbly come and we want to thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, Lord. But Lord, we want this worship and praise to be sweet to you. So Lord, we lift our hearts and sing to you. And Lord, now we're going to come to a time of giving, Lord, to give back to you what you first gave to us. Lord, we ask that you bless both gift and the giver. And Lord, as we come to the hearing of your word, it will be transforming to each and every one of us, that we will have been in your presence and that you will touch us. You will lead us and you will guide us. Lord, give us the faith to follow. Give us the faith to be obedient. And as always, Lord, if I'm going to say something that is not true, not right, not of you, Lord, I pray that you would silence my lips, not allow me to speak it, but that you would rise up the one to speak for you this day if it is not me. I praise you and thank you and bring all the glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Praise Band. What a wonderful worship. Appreciate you all. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it. And I have somebody here in the congregation today that is a very good friend of mine. He's been a very close confidant of mine for a very long time. I love him greatly, and I love him dearly. And he's visiting us today, and I feel privileged because he was going to go to the church down the street right here. And he decided to come here, and that is Pastor Phil Campbell and his wife, Julie, is sitting right back there. Say hi, Phil. So that is Pastor Phil, and he's currently in Hundred, West Virginia. He's originally down from near Nineveh. Not the Nineveh you're thinking about, but where is it? Is it Ryerson Station or Nineveh? Where are you at?
Well, I live in Nineveh.
You live in Nineveh. So I was right. Yeah, sorry. Okay. All right. Well, welcome. Welcome. Hopefully you get saved today. So, all right. Yeah. Well, welcome. Y'all give him a hand of fellowship before he leaves. We're in a series in Joshua, and this is part two of the sermon last week entitled In the Midst of Failure. In the Midst of Failure. Anybody here ever have failure in their life? Amen, right? Well, last week we started into chapter 8 of our series on Joshua, and we really never got past the first two verses. So today I would like to dig a little deeper. And last week we talked about what to do when we are in the midst of failure. We've messed up, we've goofed up, we've made a tragic error. So what do we do? What do we do when we fall into disobedience before a holy God? So what do we call disobedience before a holy God? We call that what? Sin, right? We've sinned, we've done something against God, right? Well, we know how one man messed up in the Hebrew camp and the entire nation paid for it. And you all know what happened there by now, right? The Israelites, the whole nation suffered a devastating defeat, a devastating failure at the hands of Ai. And why did that happen? Why? Because one man's sin, right? One man's disobedience. His name was Achan, right? His one man's disobedience infected an entire nation. And now what's next? What are they to do? Well, the first thing that they had to do was they had to remove, as Mike said, they had to remove the sin from their camp. So as we begin in Joshua chapter 8, that's already done. Because at the end of chapter 7, Achan was taken out of the city and stoned. So now the sin has been taken out of the nation. And now what do they do next? Now what? That happens, so now what? After a major defeat, after a major failure, how do they move forward? That is often a very difficult thing in the life of a believer, is after a major failure in your life, after something devastating happens in your life, is we don't know how to move forward. Well, last week God's word showed us what God does when we are at those low points in our life. Those times when we say, I've really made a mess of things this time, Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been there more times than I'd like to tell you. I've really made a mess of things this time, Lord. Or those times when we say, Lord, though no fault of my own, right? No fault of my own, my life is messed up. Sometimes things happen that maybe you didn't necessarily create, but it's affected you negatively in some way, right? My life is messed up. I feel defeated. I feel broken. I feel lost. Anybody there now? Well, it is at those times when God offers, from last week, number one, encouragement. Chapter 8, verse 1, God said, Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. He said, Joshua, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. I've got this, Joshua. Look to me, Joshua. Seek me, Joshua. And then after that, God offered him instruction. Joshua, here's what I want you to do. This is what you were to do. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. Get back on the horse. You remember that? Get back on the horse. Get back up. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You get up and let's move. We gotta move. We gotta keep pushing forward. Now listen, I understand that it's hard to get back up sometimes. Amen. Once you've been pushed down and pushed down and pushed down, sometimes it's just hard to get back up when you've been knocked down so many times, or when you've been knocked down hard, right? When you're living in defeat. But know this, God has a plan. God has a plan. And then all those times when you've suffered an unbelievable failure and you come seeking the Lord, right? You've got all this failure in your life and you come seeking the Lord, that God offers you, number three, assurance from last week, right? He offers you assurance. God said, Joshua, see, I have given into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Now, just give me, I know you're, none of you are asleep yet, probably. Wake up, Phil. So, I don't know that you're all asleep yet, but give me your eyes and your ears. If you don't take anything out of this message, please take this today, that wherever you're at in your problem, in your issue, in your sin, whatever it is, I want you to know this. God is bigger than your problem, and he's bigger than your failure. And listen, and he has the resources to defeat them all. In fact, he has the resources to defeat all of our failures and all of our defeats at the same time. So God said, Joshua, don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You gather up the men of war and arise. And he's telling Joshua, I've got this. I've got this, Joshua. I've got this, Joshua. Listen, he's saying, you do as I instruct you to do. Now that was last week, right? That's what he told him, right? Now today we want to dig a little deeper. So today, now that we know, now that we understand that God offers us encouragement, instruction, and assurance in the midst of failure, that there is hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in Jesus Christ in my failure. That's why God tells us to get clean and to get close. But that's not what we normally do when failure and something bad happens in our lives. Normally what we want to do, we want to run away from God. We want to run away from the church, right? But he's telling me, God says, you get clean and you get close. Remember, if you draw close to God, he will what? Draw close to you, right? Now today, and that's a promise from him, not me. Now today, I want to show you that once you do that, once you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. And then this is when God will show us, point number four, the clarity of mission. The clarity of mission, meaning this, God will help us with the battle plan. He will help us with the battle plan. He will help us with the details. So pick it up with me in verse 3 there, where God is now going to give him details, chapter 8, verse 3, on how to overcome the enemy or the problem in your life, right, in his life. Look what it says there, verse 3. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Now that's the first group. Watch, there's going to be more than one group here. That's the first group. So watch this, because he's going to split his army up, right? So just watch what he's doing. This is the first group, verse 3. Now verse 4, watch, there comes the details, verse 4. And he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind the city. Now, here's a great military maneuver, right? This is a great setup for victory, right? God said this, you shall, look, verse 4, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. There's a lot to write, I could be unpacked right there. Be ready. That's key, right? Be ready. Look, verse 5. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. Joshua's giving his commands, right? Now, he's talking about himself with the main section of an army. Joshua is right here. And now here's the second part of the army. And it will come about that when they come out against us, as at the first, just like they did the first time we went up, we shall flee before them. We are going to run away from them like you did the last time. For they, look, verse 6, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first time, just like they did before, right? Therefore, we will flee from them. We're going to run away. He's telling them, we're going to run away on purpose. Last time we ran away in defeat. This time when it happens, we're going to run away on purpose, and we're going to retreat on purpose. Look at verse 7. Then you shall rise from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do. I have commanded you. Joshua said, look, now listen, God has given me this battle tactic. He's given me this strategy. He's given me this plan. See, I have commanded. You, God gave it to me, and Joshua saying, God gave it to me, now I'm commanding you. I'm telling you what God commanded me, so now I'm commanding you to do as the Lord told me. Verse 9, so Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai, and on the west side of Ai, but Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up. And somebody, you just imagine him spraying everybody with mustard. No. All right. He rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, and he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. And that's where the leader should be, right? That's what this verse is saying. He's where he should be. Remember the first time he didn't go. He stayed back at camp. See, that's where he should be. The leader should always be before the people. The leader should always be with the people. Verse 11, and all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near, and they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now a valley lay between them and Ai. So he took about 5,000 men. Now this is the third group. He took about 5,000 men. And he set them in the ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So you got somebody on the back side, you got somebody off to the other side, and then he's out here in front of them, right? So all the men are in their positions for battle now. Now listen to what happens, verse 13. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So now Joshua and his men go at night, right? And they camp out across the valley from Ai. Verse 14, now it happened when the king of Ai saw it that the men of the city hurried. Now this is exactly what Joshua wanted to happen. This is part of the battle plan. This is what Joshua wanted to have. He wanted the king of Ai to see him and his men. He wanted the king of Ai to think, this is our army right here. This is them right there. Joshua wanted to distract the king's attention on his men so that the other men of Israel would go unnoticed. It's like the old analogy. You know, right? So the king of Ai saw Joshua, and Joshua wanted him to see him. And so the men of the city hurried, rose early, and went out against Israel to battle. So now they've opened the gates of the city, right? They see them out there, and they rise up early. They open up the gates of the city, and all of them go out of the city, right? They're all coming out of the city now to do battle with Joshua. They're coming out to fight us. Joshua says, look, they're coming out to fight us. So Joshua spent the night in the midst of the valley, and it came about that when the king of Ai saw it, and the men hurried and rose early and went out against Israel in battle, he and all his people at an appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. He didn't see him, right? He didn't know about the other men who were behind the city. In verse 15, and Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So Joshua purposely retreats to draw the men of Ai away from the city, right? They come out after him. He purposely retreats, and they start chasing after him. And when they begin to retreat, now watch what happens, verse 16. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. There was not a man in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. Everybody went. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. So they're pursuing Joshua and his men now, and this is what they're saying. The king of Ai is saying, now we're tired of this. We've dealt with this once. We've whipped them once, and this time we're going to do it right. We're going to whip them all. We're going to do it once and for all. We're going to do them in and be done with these crazy Hebrews. These guys don't learn easily, right? So everybody comes out of the city, out of Ai, right? Verse 18, then the Lord said to Joshua. Look at verse 18. This is interesting. Don't miss these little snippets along the way, because what he's going to tell him, right? If this was Moses, if this would have been Moses, what would God have said to Moses? He would have said what? Lift your staff, right? But this is a general, right? This is a warrior, right? And God says, look, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their places. Those were hiding out that the king of Ai knew nothing about, right? So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, right, they're pursuing after Joshua, right? And when they turn around and look, right, they look behind them, they saw and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. The city's going up in smoke. It's being burnt down, right? So they had no power to flee this way or that. And the people who had fled to the wilderness, right, that's Joshua's men, they turned back on the pursuers. I don't know. If you're in the military, you've got to love this stuff. I mean, this is like a battle plan just unfolding right before your eyes. Look, so the men of Ai who are now chasing Joshua, Joshua's running, they're chasing after them. They turn around and these men see the city. Oh, wait, our city's on fire. It's burning down. So they turn around and they go back to the city. So now what do Joshua and his men do? When the men of Ai turn around and go back to the city, what do they do? Well, Joshua moves and turns and he turns around and moves rapidly on back on the rear. So he turns around, he starts chasing them back towards the city, right? He's chasing the army back towards the Ai, right? So Joshua moves, and when that happens, the men of Israel that are in the city burning it down at the same time, right? They come out of the city, right? You see what's happening here, right? Yeah, right? So, right, they come out of the city and the army of Ai are caught in between them and Joshua, and it's nothing but total devastation. It's devastation because the army of Israel wiped the army of Ai out. Wiped them off the map, per se. And they do that, why? Why? What is different? Why this time did they totally annihilate Ai? It's all because of this. Because they are clean before God. The sin is gone, and they are close to God now. Now they get their orders from Almighty God. Why? Because they can now hear God because their sin is gone. I want you to sink in a little bit. You know how many times people tell me, I can't hear God? They're now in a position where they've rid the sin, they've got clean before God, they've got close to God, and now they're in a position that they can hear God, and that God gives them these instructions, right? And God gives them instructions, and they follow the instructions of God to the T, just like they did in Jericho. They did the battle plan in Jericho exactly the way God told them, right to the T, and this is exactly what they do here. They followed the instructions of God to the T. All because they put themselves in a position where they could hear God, and that is when there was clarity in the mission. That is when victory occurred. So now today, you want victory over your failures. You want victory in your battles. Right there is how it's done. God has a plan for you to get out of where you are. Now, that's the point, but I can't leave it because I've got to show you something else, right? There is something I want you to notice, and I want you to notice that the battle that was fought at Ai, I want you to notice something, and this is going to be hard for us in the Baptist church. I'm just telling you. It's going to be hard. The battle that was fought at Ai was completely different than the battle that was fought in Jericho. It's totally different. Both enemies, right? Both trying to kill each other, right? But completely different. Just read the two chapters and go home and read them completely, those two chapters. How did they fight the battle of Jericho in chapter 6? Once a day for 6 days. They marched one time around the city walls. And on the seventh day, they marched seven times, blew the trumpets, and they gave a shout, and boom, the walls fall down, right? They really didn't fight. Battle was over. They really didn't fight. There really wasn't a battle. They didn't fight at all. Listen to me. Some battles are bigger than others. Amen. Some battles are bigger than others because now at AI, you've got all these, right, what you've got now, all these, they got to go back the second time, right? And now you've got all these intricate battle plans. You've got timing, you've got strategy, you've got tactics, you've got all these kind of things now that are being put into play. Notice, both were enemies of Israel, but greatly different battle plans. There's two different approaches to the same kind of battle. Where are you getting, Pastor? Listen to me closely. God doesn't always do the same thing that he did yesterday the same way today. God doesn't always do the same thing that he did yesterday the same way today. Meaning this, the methods of God can change. The methods of God can change. Listen, your battle and my battle may be the same sin issue, or it may be the same life issue, but how God deals with us individually may be different. However, I want you to get this. The battle plan, God's methods can change. However, the message always stays the same. Now, we all acknowledge that. Everyone here would say, we acknowledge that mentally, but I want to tell you something. In a Baptist church, we never live that way. Because we think if God's going to do it, then he's going to do it the same way he did it as he did it in the 1970s. This is the way it was when I was. We get this mentality, well, this God's going to always do it that way because that's the way he did it in 1970. Let me tell you something, church. This is something that we need to grab a hold of. This is how churches die. And this is why some Christians leave the faith. They think that God is the same in his methods and never changes. However, this is not the God of the Bible. The truth is this. God is not tied to doing again something new the way he did it years ago. I'm not saying he can't or he won't. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he can't or he won't. I'm saying he can change his methods. And he will do that at times. Therefore, you and I, personally and as a church, we have to adapt to new strategies and battle plans to continue to experience victory in the and in our individual lives. What's victory look like? That means we overcome. That means the battle doesn't overtake us, that we overtake the battle. It's what's in me. It's the song, the inside out. You see, there's where they did. They went back to the Lord, and something happened on the inside of the people that changed the outward outcome. Understanding what works for you, listen, understanding what works for you may not work for me. How God brings me out of addiction, how God did bring me out of an addiction, right? Or out of stealing or lying or honoring God with my money. It may be different how he does it with me and how he does it with you. We may have the same battle, but God can give us different approaches to the same issue. God doesn't always do things the same way with us personally. And that also with a church. One of our major problems we have in moving forward is that we keep looking backwards. We keep looking back at how God did things in the past. But the truth is this. God doesn't do the same thing all the time the same way. But let me make this clear. Please don't go out of here saying that I said this because I didn't. The message is always the same. Now, I don't know how many of you have an iPhone. Yeah, a lot of you have an iPhone. Well, I have an iPhone 13. And I know that the 14s and the 15s and the 16s have come out, but They're just too expensive, right? And so I'm hanging on to my 13 as long as I can. But I've got to tell you something. It's giving me some trouble. The battery's not holding a charge as long as it used to anymore. It seems to use it up a lot faster, and it freezes up on me from time to time. It goes black from time to time, right? So pretty soon I'm going to have to do it, right? I'm going to go out and either purchase a 14, a 15, or a 16, or if I can wait till the 17s come out next year, I don't know, and get one of those. And what's the first thing I'm going to say when I get it? Yeah, that's right. Probably true. I'm going to say this. This doesn't work the same way that my old phone did. But it still does the exact same thing that my old phone did. It makes and receives calls. It texts, it emails, it Googles. It takes pictures. You get my point? But it, dadnabbit, it doesn't have a home button. You laugh. There are people who refuse to give up their cell phone because they don't have a home button. Unless you're John Junkins, yours still flips. Now, we have to understand something, folks, that God doesn't do the same thing over and over again. It depends on the circumstances, and it depends on the individual. He can change things up. But we still have the same God and the same message in which we operate. We have the same God and the same message, the same instruction in how we operate. That never changes. Now, if you want to know what I do in my spiritual battles and in my life battles, and I told you this last week, you need to get clean and you need to get close. You need to get into a position that you can hear God. Key, absolutely key. You have to get clean and you have to get close so that you can be in a position that where you can hear God, and then He will give you clarity of mission and He'll let you know what to do. And listen, most likely what He tells you what to do, you're not going to want to do it. Just like the battle of Ai. Go back? Go back? Yep. And you're going to do it different. Now let me give you the next thing. The next thing is this. Go back to the text, chapter 8, and let's pick it back up and see what comes next. When you stay close to the Lord, this God will do this. He'll eliminate unnecessary repetition. Now, we know that God in chapter 7, right? God in chapter 7 gave Joshua a battle plan, right? That we know that the first battle plan, that it wasn't followed, right? So Ai was not defeated, right? So the enemy is still at large, right? This is verse 2. Joshua said that, I want you to do this. Go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. We've covered this. Remember, Joshua himself didn't go, just his men. So the men, right? Verse 3, returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. The spies come back and say, look, there's nothing to it. It's easy peasy. We can do this, Joshua. But notice this. They chose to do it their way against God's instruction. Something else I want you to notice. Nowhere in the first battle plan did they seek God. I don't know if you noticed that. So now they have to go back a second time to battle Ai now, right? Now, I'm sure that there are a few of you who can remember a time or two in your childhood. I know it's back there a little ways for some of you. Do you remember when you messed something up royally? What did your parents do? Wouldn't they make you go back and do it over again? Now, maybe your job was to cut the grass. Now, you're saying, there's nothing big and royal. How can you? Listen, you didn't live in my house. Maybe your job was to cut the grass and you were in a hurry because you wanted to go out and play, and in your speed mowing, you missed a few swatches of grass. So what did you have to do? You had to go back and remow the whole thing, right? Or you had to wash the car if you wanted to use it on Friday night to go out on a date. Remember that? And so your mom or dad would make you, they would make you go out and wash the car, but you missed the whole back door. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have had to wash the whole thing again. Thank God for WashRite, amen? But I'd have to wash the whole thing again. And you've heard the expression, maybe from your parents, right? If you had done it right the first time, you wouldn't have to do it all over again, right? Well, that's the same for the Israelites. They had done it right the first time. If they had been close, if they had been clean before God, they would have not had to go back. Now, let me ask you something. How many times have you had to go back? How many times have you had to go back and redo something in your spiritual life? How many times have you had to go back in your physical life? Because you wouldn't listen to God the first time. Listen, I hate to go back and learn. And I'm a slow learner and I hate going back. I hate to go back and learn and what I should have already learned the first time. There's nothing worse than that for me, especially spiritual matters, spiritual mistakes, sin issues in my life. Yeah, I have them just like you. I hate it. There's times I have to go back to God learning a lesson all over again and saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I should have learned that, Lord. I should have known that. I should have learned that years ago, Lord. And the Lord just takes me right back to school all over again. Now watch. Watch this. He takes me right back to school all over again, not out of his desire to do so. Not out of his desire to do so, but out of necessity for my well-being. Out of necessity for my well-being. Now, I don't know if any of you ever had to repeat a grade in school, right? I don't know if you ever had to repeat a grade in school, but I did, and I'm going to tell you something. I didn't like it. It was shameful. In fact, it's shameful to me right now. I don't want people to know I had to repeat a grade, so that's why I'm telling all of you right now. I don't want people to know that I had to repeat a grade. Why? Because it's embarrassing. I'm ashamed. Just like when you fall off the horse, maybe you've fallen off the wagon, maybe you've viewed things you shouldn't have again on the internet, maybe you've stole from your employer again and you feel ashamed again. You don't understand what I'm talking about? Well, that's the way it is, and that's the way it is in the Christian walk. When we fail, we are embarrassed and ashamed, not only before men, but more importantly, before God. And when you're ashamed before God, let me tell you this, it is a good thing. That's how you know that the Spirit lives in you. Listen, let me tell you something. It's best to stay clean. It's best to stay close to the Lord so that you don't have to go through these repetitions of doing it over and over and over again, because the second time again is always more costly. It usually costs you more. Trust me, it's always more costly the second time around. Now, let me give you the one last thing. Stick with me just a little bit longer. And one last thing, and the last thing is this. When you stay close to the Lord, He always brings you His provision. This part you're going to like. When you stay close to the Lord, He always brings you His provision. Now, let me show you something that you'll miss if you're not careful right here. This, to me, is the best part of this chapter, and you find it in verse 2. Listen to what God says to Joshua. After he's given them encouragement, after he's given them assurance, after he's given them instruction, God says, "And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, only its spoils and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind them." Now look, that's just a part of a verse. But did you hear what was said in that part of the verse? Everything in the city is yours. What did he tell them the first time? None of it's yours. It's all mine. He comes now and he says, everything in the city is yours. What you can get, you get. What you can carry, what you can throw on your donkey, whatever you got, you get it. Now remember, Jericho had been under the siege, under the ban. God said, all of this is mine. You don't touch it. It's holy to me. You leave it alone. Now think about this. If Achan had waited just a few days, if he had just listened to the Lord and his instruction and waited and honored God with what was there in Jericho, he would have gotten so much more at Ai. So much more that would not have to be hidden. But the truth is, some of us think that we are so smart. We think that we're so smart that we know better than with what to do with what we think is ours. We know better what to do with what's ours, right? We know what's better for our bodies. We know what's better for our relationships. We know what's better for our marriages. And yes, our money and so on and so on, right? Our mindset today is these instructions of God don't apply to me. If you think that, then I have a message for you, to you, from God. Honoring God's instructions always applies. Honoring God's instruction always applies to all of us in the exact same way, no matter the circumstances. His message never changes. Always, in every generation and in every day, the message never changes, period. Right? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God reminded the Israelites of all that he provided them while they wandered in the desert. Right? He had to remind them. He said, remember, it was I who led you. It was I who made sure that you never went hungry. It was I who made sure that your clothing did not wear out. It was I who brought you into this great land, this good land where it is overflowing with good food, with rocks and iron and copper. God said, you will lack nothing. God said, and it is I who gave you strength to make it there. So is that just an Old Testament thing? Or does God still do that for us today? Well, here. If you want to look up all the Bible verses in the New Testament that pertain to this, you go right on ahead because there's a bunch of them. But let me just give you a few. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 25. I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Then Jesus goes on in the rest of that chapter and says, your heavenly Father knows what you need of, and he'll take care of it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. See, we think that we never should suffer. It's wrong thinking, stinking thinking, right? He says, all you called to eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, through him who gives me strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is all you need, for my power is the greatest when you are weak, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So let me ask you this question. Does God still provide our needs today? Amen. Yes, He does. He still provides today, tomorrow, and beyond. You have what you have because of the gracious hand of God, and God says, just honor me with it. I've given you instructions, just honor me with it. But we often think that we know better, so we jump out ahead of God, and what happens? It cost us. It cost us, and it's disastrous for us. This is why as parents, when we watch our children do some of the most stupid, crazy things that we know from experience is just not going to work. But you can't tell them anything, right? Why is that? Because they think they know it all. They think they know better than we do, right? I've been told by my kids, you're old-fashioned, Dad. All right, but I'm telling you, this is probably what's going to happen to you, right? Well, I can't tell them, right? Because they know better, right? We tell them to just slow down and wait on the Lord, but they don't wait to listen to our instruction, and then we watch them fall, and we watch them fail. Let me ask you a question. Do you still love them? Oh, how sweet. If Achan had only listened, because God said, I'm going to give you everything in the next city, just wait. Just be patient. Likewise, God says to you and I here today, we are God's children, right? He's looking at you and He's telling you and I today, I'm your provision. I will take care of you. I will satisfy you. Just follow my instructions. Honor me in what I tell you to do. And do you know why God wants you to wait sometimes? Because that kills us, doesn't it? Do you know why God wants us to wait sometimes? Because He's purifying our desires. What do I mean by that? He's purifying our desires because He knows not everything you desire is good for you. Because the truth is, if you got everything that you had ever asked for, you would be in a horrible situation right now. Most of you would be married to some terrible thing right now. If you had gotten what you really, really wanted, what your desire was, and I'm saying that because I know that's true for me. In fact, if I'd have got everything that I desired, I wouldn't even be here right now. I wouldn't be here right now if I got everything I desired. Understand, God wants to purify our desires, and He wants to provide what you really do need. And what you really do need is sometimes you don't want. And sometimes because of our stupid, crazy actions, He has to take us the long, more difficult route. Why? So that He can once again renew His blessings to you. Why? Because He still loves you. God said this. That's what He did. This is an example is AI, how He brought them back and blessed them. God said, all of this is yours. You go get it, and you take whatever you can find out of AI. So let me ask, do you truly believe that God will take care of all of your needs? Do you really believe that? Do you believe He will take care of all your needs, and He will take care of the needs of everybody around you? Do you believe He could do that, and He doesn't even break a sweat? Now, you think that you are one of those, you think that you are the one who's doing it, right? But He's the one who has given you the power, the smarts, the ability to get up and do it every single day. That's the goodness of God. That is the goodness of God. If you stay close and you stay clean. Now, folks, as the praise band comes, the invitation is very important. It's important to a lot of people. A lot of us are dealing with a lot of things. We're in a lot of, some of us are in some bad places. Sis gave you the instructions. There are people here this morning who need to make a decision for Christ. In just a moment, the praise band will begin to play, and that will be your clue to step out from where you are. I want you to know the Father. I want you to know a Father that takes care of your needs. Maybe you've never had a Father like that, and maybe you had a Father like that. What an example of a heavenly Father. He will take care of your needs. And your greatest need is the need for personal salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. That is your greatest need. You can't fix that. Only God can. Your heavenly Father has already taken care of that for you in His Son, Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want you to slip out and make your way to the front, and I will share Jesus Christ with you. I will share with you how He provided for your greatest need, salvation, but you must follow His instructions. Now, others of you need to come and join this church. You need to make this your church home. You've been coming here for a long time. It's time. You need to make a commitment. God's leading you here. Choose to follow His instruction. Either way, here's what I know. We all need to come before God and get clean and get close. Why? That's how we let Him lead our lives. Amen. Father God, in these moments, may our response reflect an obedience to Your will. May it reflect obedience to Your will for our lives, Lord, that we will put ourselves in a position that we can hear You. Lord Jesus, speak loudly that we may hear. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You come as the music begins.
Please stand.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by on You. I'm saved. He won't fail. He won't.
Listen, I'd like to pray with you because I know some of you want prayer. So let me pray with you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come. You'll move mightily. Lord, there are so many people who are crying out to you right now. Lord, they're seeking to get close to you. They're seeking forgiveness of their sins. And so, Lord, they want to be clean. Lord, they want to be able to hear from you. So, Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you will fall, your Holy Spirit will fall mightily upon them. Lord, that you will give them a word. And, Lord, that they will have the faith and the courage to follow. Not on their own, but that given by you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now listen, there's one thing I'm going to ask you. God has spoken to some of you. I know he has. He has spoken to you. I don't know whether it pertains to the sermon or not, but he's speaking to you and has spoken to you. I'm going to encourage you to go from this place and follow that instruction. Follow his leading. Follow what he's telling you. Because he won't let you down. He won't do that. Put your faith and trust in him and never turn back. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. Also, security team, don't forget meeting downstairs right now. Thank you.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything